Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY26 earnings conference call of Quality Power Electrical Equipment Limited, hosted by Asit C. Mehta Investment Intermediates. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddharth Bhamre from Asit C. Mehta Investment Intermediates. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Siddharth Bhamre, Head Institutional Research at Asit C. Mehta Investment Intermediates Limited. It gives us immense pleasure at Asit C. Mehta to host this conference call for Q1 FY26 for Quality Power Electrical Equipment Limited. I would also like to state the fact that our group company, Pantomath Capital Advisors Private Limited, was the merchant banker for the IPO of Quality Power. It is the largest issue done by a single merchant banker till date in India. This quarter, Quality Power on standalone basis has delivered excellent set of numbers. Also, the group companies have witnessed heightened execution. Let me now introduce you to management from Quality Power on today's Q1 FY26 phone call. We have Mr. Bharanidharan Pandian, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Rajesh Jayaraman, CFO, Mr. Sarika Jadhav, Senior VP Finance, and Mr. Sachin Sethi, VP Finance. Over to you, Bharani.
Thank you, Siddharth. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of the board and the management team, I thank you all for joining us today and for your continued trust in the company. We are pleased to report another quarter of consistent performance. The sector we operate, that is high voltage electrical equipment and power quality solutions, is witnessing a structural long-term demand surge driven by grid modernization, renewable energy integration, and digital infrastructure. This momentum is intensifying globally. It is important to note that this demand is now constrained by supply, especially for technical advanced products like ours. This is creating a shift towards a supply-driven environment. Our traditional coil products group under Quality Power delivered a record high margins of 34%, and Endox delivered a margin of 27% with an exponential increase in revenue growth. Nehru, the recent entrant in the family, also has an increase of 45% this quarter over the last year's operating margins. This quarter also saw us sign a binding term sheet for an acquisition of Sukrut Electric through a joint venture with Yash High Voltage Limited. This great gem is again a value buy and allows us access to hundreds of transformer manufacturers in India and abroad for our instrument transformer and composite product lines. Over the last several years, we have made conscious, sustained investments in technology, global approvals, and manufacturing quality. Today, that work is translating into opportunities of scale and strategic importance. We are now approved suppliers of HVDC and STATCOM products with all the leading global companies, including the Chinese OEMs. This opens us doors not just to immediate orders, but to long-term participation in global grid stability projects. Further, we are on track for key HVDC order announcements in the near term. These projects are at the highest end of technical complexity and signify a growing confidence in our capabilities. Our qualification for such projects reflect our technological achievements. This quarter's numbers highlight our gradual shift from participating in the market to playing a more defining role in it. Our order pipeline remains strong with healthy visibility across sectors and geographies. While we remain optimistic, we are mindful of ongoing supply chain fluctuations and are planning accordingly. We remain committed to transparent communication, capital discipline, and long-term value creation. Thank you once again, all the investors, for being a part of this journey. I now invite our CFO, Mr. Jayaraman, to share his thoughts with this distinguished gathering. Jai Hind.
Thank you, Pandijaram. Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to share this quarter's highlights. We have seen strong top-line growth. Consolidated revenue rose from Rs. 80 crores to 194 crores, more than doubling year on year. This reflects sustained demand across product lines, and strong execution across entities. On profitability, Kalyani Power standalone delivered a historic EBITDA margin of 34%, our highest ever. Endox maintained healthy margin of 27%, driven by operating discipline and a solid project pipeline. Meru's margin stands at 9.5%, but importantly, profitability has improved by 47% in its first full quarter post-acquisition, showing our integration strategy is on track. We expect further improvement as synergies play out. The higher consolidated expenditure is due to Meru's consolidation. Core cost structures at Kalyani Power and Endox remain stable and efficient. Cash flows remain strong, enabling growth investment without impacting profitability. On PAT, the quarter-on-quarter moderation is due to a one-time forex gain in the previous quarter. Adjusted for that, underlying profitability remains healthy and growing across businesses. Looking ahead, with new additions like Sucrit and continued group-level consolidation, we are confident of meeting our revenue and earnings guidance for the year. I would also like to note a minor correction yesterday's limited review profit loss account. The controlling interest profit of Q1 financial year 25 was reported as 31.12 crores. The correct figure is rupees 19.37 crores. The increase in debt this quarter stems from a temporary promoter support as rupees 70 crore interest-free soft loan for proposed acquisition, which also raised net assets. This is purely strategic, with no operational impact. Group debt stands at rupees 13 crores against cash and cash equivalents of rupees 250 crores. Thank you for your trust and support. Now, I'll open the floor for discussion.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, can you share the revenue for Meru and revenue for Endox for the quarter one? And let's say at the current capacity in Meru and the current capacity. Okay, you may first give out the first answer, then I'll ask the following question.
Good morning, Pritesh ji. Thank you for always being with us. The numbers for Endox is 91.91 crores in sales, and Meru is 61.5 crores in sales. For electrical equipment, it's 41.8 crores in sales, and projects, which is our subsidiary, which is related party transaction, is about 4 crores in sales. And capacity utilization at Meru at this moment is close to 95%, but they are scaling up every month as the new ovens for the addition is coming over.
So Meru capacity utilization is 91%?
At this moment, but they are scaling every month because they have ordered new ovens. They have got into warehouses, put in a lot more effort into what we say, into expanding their factory capacity. So that will come up in the next few quarters. You will see their capacity utilization always around 95% because of the order book, even with the expanded capacities.
Okay. Meru, you guys mentioned that it's 9.5% EBITDA margin. What will be the Endox EBITDA margin?
The Endox EBITDA margin is about 27% profit before tax.
Product and alone, the EBITDA margin.
For Kalyani Power, which is the coil product.
30%.
The coil product, which is Kalyani Power, is about 34% for HVDC and FACTS, where we are expanding the factory.
Okay. Endox, you mentioned 27% margin, right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, from the capacity utilization perspective, even quality is at a high capacity utilization, right?
Correct, sir.
Correct. And Meru, based on whatever ovens and all that you are adding, so let's say this 60 crores is 90% capacity utilization. So what kind of capacity and a business size will we see in Meru as we progress ahead with whatever capacity expansion that you have planned?
We are anticipating that the numbers may improve by about 20 to 30% in the next quarter for Meru.
And if you take a slightly longer opinion over the next 2 years based on the capacity that you're adding in Meru, or sorry, the capacity which will get commercialized in Meru, what kind of business size will Meru reach to?
The maximum capacity that the current factory can deliver is about 450 to 500 crores, depending on the pricing advantages. Our current focus is to bring them to the mid-teens margin. That has been our guidance. That is where our focus is at this moment as management.
So basically, it's 110 to 125 crores per quarter.
Sorry to interrupt. Pratesh, sir, can you please hold the device a bit distance from you? Because there is an airy noise when you are speaking.
No problem. Wait a sec. So is it clear now?
Yes, sir. Now it's clear. Please go ahead.
It's actually an electrical equipment. So at 110 to 125 crore per quarter and 18% margin is what you mentioned in Meru, right?
At this moment, our current focus is to bring them to around 15%.
And when do you see this happening? Is it 2 quarters from now, 4 quarters from now?
Ideally, we are attempting in the next 4 quarters.
And my last question is, on the order backlog of 775 crores that you guys have mentioned, can you give quality power backlog in this, Meru and Endox, the split?
Meru is about 350 crores. Quality power is about, I think, 250 crores. And the balance is Endox.
And execution timeline?
Most of the execution is about 12 to 15 months.
Okay. And what is the progress on your new site? And when should we see it up and
running? We are ahead of schedule, sir. We are ahead of schedule. A lot of people have been put in. We are working with the best companies in the country. We are slightly ahead of schedule at this moment.
Okay. Thank you very much, Bharaniji, and all the best.
Thank you, Pritishji.
Thank you. A request to all participants. Please restrict your questions to 2 questions per participant. Our next question is from the line of Nemish Sundar from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to expand on the previous capacity-related question a bit. So I want to understand, is the capacity hindering our ability to get new large orders, especially in the HVDC, given the capacities are coming up?
I believe it is not hindering us, but we are not able to take the entire HVDC order. So let's assume a HVDC order is, say, 100 rupees. We are only able to eat 30 or 40 rupees because that is what we are able to deliver, and not more than that. When I say 30 or 40 rupees, it is just not my own factory. It is also the current set of supply chain. That is why we are also putting a CTC factory, what you typically call the electrical magnet wire. We are also putting across a huge backward integration that would have an advantage, but not only of capacity supply, but small improvement in operating margins also.
So by when could you expect to cater to, let's say, more than about 50 to 60 or 70% of the HVDC order that you are getting?
You would see some orders as we guided sometime in the H2 of this year. We will be delivering. Even recently, we won a very prestigious order from Power Grid, along with partnership with Hitachi. We won the 500 kV HVDC smoothing coil. Each coil is about 250 megawatt. This is one of the world's largest coil. This opens up not only approvals with Power Grid, but also domestic supply, as being the only guys who can supply this part of the world.
Okay. And sir, is there any impact of the tariff situation on your exports to US?
Nimish, very tricky question. At this moment, as you are aware, tariffs is changing every week. So the orders and the projects of ours are already predetermined, pre-linked. So I would not see an impact in the next 12 to 15 months. After 15 months, we need to see how the geopolitics comes in. However, as I said, right now it's a capacity allocation. If the Americans don't want it, we can sell the capacity to anybody. So we just announced a large order intake from Middle East, that is for the UAE transmission company. So customers, because we sell in over 100 countries, we are not short of customers.
Okay, thanks, sir. And could you just give your revenue guidance for the year? Last question from me.
We had given a guidance of between 700 and 800 crores conservatively at the starting beginning of the year.
This is including all your subsidiaries, including the new acquisition also?
Sukrut would not be consolidated. It would be an associate company because it's going under a joint venture. So I believe it would come not come in the main P&L, but would come as investments, if I'm not given, if I'm correct.
Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot, sir. I'll get back in touch.
Thank you, Nimish.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rahul Agarwal from Avendus Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, sir,
Loud and clear, Rahul.
Okay, thanks. Thanks a lot for giving me this opportunity. So, sir, the first question that I had was, when I was looking at the recent con calls, I just wanted to clarify the numbers for the bid success ratios that we have for HVDC and FACTS. If you could just tell me for domestic and international.
So Rahul, in the domestic, we are the only people. So it is how much deliveries we can give would depend on whether it is 100% or 80%. So because a lot of tenders are coming simultaneously every month, our supply chains are not able to take it. It's just not our factory, it's also the supply chain. So we are working
Right.
together to be able to take 100% in India. Globally, we are still at a favorable stage. By the end of next year, when our entire factory is up and running at full swing, I think we would not miss so much. Right now, our hit and win ratio is not because of pricing, it is on deliveries.
Okay, understood, sir. So the next question that I had was that, in the documents that are there, the public documents for QP, we were a little confused to understand the peers and your clients. So the same names were mentioned, Hitachi, Siemens, all of the companies that you said were mentioned as clients and peers. So can you just clarify, how this relationship works between us and them?
In high technology businesses, all of us are customers, suppliers, competitors, partners, and peers. So in our fax business, we buy components from Hitachi, Siemens, and GE. In their fax and HVDC business, they buy components from our facilities because these are not overlapping components and overlapping supply chains. So we are a supplier to all the three big guys that you mentioned across the world.
Okay. Sure.
But
And
we are
there is
also
no
in competing them in certain businesses. We are partnering them in certain businesses, and we also buy from them in certain businesses.
Understood, sir. So there is no in the especially in the part where we are competing with them, there is no threat of sort of them making those same products later down the line and eating the market share for us. Is there any threat for that?
It is not determined by the middlemen in between. When I say middlemen, it is like companies like Quality Power and others. It is determined by the utility at the end of the day. So something like we are now working with Transco in Abu Dhabi. We are working with Svenska Kraftnät in Sweden, Fingrid in Finland. So those are the guys who approve the company, and the people in between are just component and solution providers. So we are approved in over 100 countries. The technology is well proven. The moat is normally between 5 and 10 years. So competition now one would still take between 5 and 7 years, even bet with the best people across the world, because there is so many utilities. Even in India, if you see a transmission utility, we have three large players, Power Grid being the largest, Adani and Sterlite, and the new ones coming in for the HVDC line. So all these, they will have to approve you.
Okay, understood. And just one last thing, could you just tell us the CapEx number, like the amount of CapEx that is being done? I know the capacity numbers. I just wanted to know the CapEx amount.
I believe it should be around 125 crores at post-IPO. That is what. A lot of money has been spent pre-IPO also. A lot of the equipment that we bought, about 20-27 crores of equipment that we bought during the IPO is also being used for the same project. So, motamoti about 125 crores.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you, Rahul.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Dev Gulwani from Care PMS. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, what is the market size of our products while making a HVDC substation? So, how much percentage of our products contribute?
At this moment, we deliver three key product lines in HVDC. That is reactors, various types of reactors, instrument transformers, and special purpose medium voltage transformers like zigzag connected earthing transformer. These are the three product lines which we do. In the components lines with all the transformers in HVDC, we have now components from Sukrut that get into those transformers. That is us accessories. At this current moment, we are sitting on these four different opportunity size. In a normal HVDC project, we believe the opportunity size for us is about 200 crores per order.
Okay. And what is the competitive edge of our products that we are getting so many orders? How are we different from others?
I believe we have given our peers and global competition. We have two guys in Europe. For the high voltage, we are the only guys in this part of the world. So obviously, whatever comes or the demand comes in, the first preference is given to us because we are local, we are able to service better, and we have proven ourselves in over 100 geographies. It's only when we are not able to deliver them on the time that we request that it is gone normally outside the country.
And last question, how much percentage of order book consists from India?
At the current moment, we should be about 50-50 or maybe 60-40, 60 being export, 40 being domestic.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nishita from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. So congratulations on a very good set of numbers. I would just like to know that do you have any new acquisition plans? Like you had mentioned in quarter 3 FY25 that you are in talks of potential acquisition of Statcon Energy. So what is the update on that?
Nishita, good question. So the Statcon deal has been called off in what we say about 3-4 months back. It's been mutually called off. With regards to other acquisitions, I believe, yes, we are normally hungry for acquisitions based on technology and pricing, apart from the culture that the company brings along. We are in talks with a few, nothing concluded as of yet. You would see some small debt that we have put into the company for certain bids. As and when it happens, I'm sure the markets will know about it.
Okay. Also, just wanted to know that from the new global coil factory that you built in Sangli, how much revenue do you expect to generate from that factory?
The facility is quite large. The facility can also make, apart from coils, a lot more products, including mid-sized power transformers. So at the peak revenue from the facility is expected to be between 1,500 and 2,000 crores, depending on the pricing policies that we may have. At this moment, our focus is to get the facility immediately on, staff the facility, and get the raw material aligned. Our focus instead of numbers is more on execution at this moment.
Okay, perfect. And in the margin guidance of FY26 of 15% to 16%, are we still on the same line?
I believe so. If you look at most of the margins that the parent companies are delivering, I think pre-Nehru, we are still at very, very high numbers. I think closer to 30% consolidated. It's only with Nehru coming down, we have been pushed on the numbers. But as soon as Nehru starts increasing, I believe the average would also start pushing. So we are still in the guidance. No bad news from that side.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nishita.
Thank you. A request to all participants, please restrict your questions to 2 questions per participant. Our next question is from the line of Sanjay Jain from Intellect Capital Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. My question was from the transformer side. So historically, we have seen that the transformer's capacity utilization of quality power was on the lower side. And with Mehru coming in, so how does this help? Can you give us a visibility on how does this help with the orders? as in if the synergy is going to work out, or how are we going to use the existing capacity that we have of transformers?
So, Sanjay, to clarify, transformers and instrument transformers are two different product lines. Transformers are used to convert in energy from high voltage to low voltage, what we normally call as distribution or power, to be able to feed power to utilities or houses. Whereas instrument transformers are used to measure electricity. So these are much smaller transformers, but still at the same high voltage and more complex, technically speaking. Now, instrument transformers are a totally different business line, has nothing to do with transformers, even though all transformers use instrument transformers, A. B, we have been making transformers, non-standard custom design transformers for the past 25 years. Sometimes we worry about the overcapacity coming across the world, so we have been also trying to slowly reduce our dependence on transformers. However, we still do deliver transformers to some of our key customers, and we still continue to export some transformers. The new factory will be able to, we will be able to take a little bit more transformer orders. In the current factory, our coil products being delivering almost 34% margins, we are more focused on high profit businesses because the factory is fungible on product lines.
Okay, okay. Understood, sir. Thank you for the clarification. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Jain.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Viraj Mahadevia from MoneyGrow. Please go ahead. Viraj, sir, please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on stable and upward results. Can you give us some color as to why you did a joint deal to acquire Sukrut with Yash Voltage, the thought process behind that, as opposed to acquiring it outright?
So, Viraj, that's a very, very tricky question. So, I will answer it like this. So, we put a factory, the first factory in England in 2010, and we had to close it down in 2017. And one of the key learnings when we ran the factory in England was the management bandwidth. Now, as we are growing rapidly, we want to preserve the management bandwidth. We were approached by the management of Sukrut, a German company. We had negotiated a good deal. But transformer manufacturers are, even though strategically important, a very large customer, a growing business, is not in the vicinity of our current sales and strategic team. So we did not want to open up another front in war. So Yash High Voltage, which was already establishing themselves in the US, Europe, and already had a large set of customers in India, seemed like a natural partner. So what our intention to do together is to use the brand and legacy of 70 years of Sukrut to be able to consolidate more companies in the transformer component and create it as a board level company. So that is why right from day one, it is taken as a board-level company, and this is primarily to ensure that we don't lose focus on HVDC and FACS, which is high-growth, high-profit business.
Understood. So this business is light touch for you, mainly run by Yash High Voltage. Is that right?
I would say that we have access to technology, marketing, customer base, and also internally their customers happen to our customers to our instrument and composite products. But Yash would bring a significant advantage of customer connect. So from a customer side of things, I would say Yash definitely would need to take the front end.
Understood, sir. Second question is regarding your raw material security. Can you give a sense as to your raw material basket, whether it comes largely from India, from Europe, US, or China? Are there any, you know, sort of certain market dependencies?
So our raw materials traditionally been 100% India. We make our own special cables in our vendor works with our own machinery. However, we are not able to scale up that factory because we are typically the only guys in this part of the world who make those kind of equipments. So we are spending our own money in developing that facility where we should be almost delivering 50% of our needs from that facility. A. B. Now for global orders, we are also looking at importing from China, primarily because the Indian orders do not allow Chinese origin raw material. So what we are trying to do is we are trying to use the Indian raw material for Indian projects and global raw material for global projects. At this moment, we do not foresee a problem on cable so much, but we see a huge problem on porcelain or what we call as insulators.
Understood. And is there a reason you choose to source from China for global orders versus elsewhere or India? Is it purely just pricing and product availability? The Chinese are actually more expensive when you compare the freight, import duties and everything. It is just availability at this moment. We simply pass it on to the customer.
Understood, sir. All the very best on your journey.
Thank you, Viraj.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Akshay from AK Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. You're audible.
Yeah. Thanks for giving me the opportunity. Sir, our order book currently is 775 crore. So can you please guide us how much consolidated order inflow are we expecting in FY26 and what would be our order book at the end of FY26?
Akshay, ideally we would like to have about 1 year of order book forward cover, because more than 1 year the metal prices swing too much for our likes, and also the raw material visibility starts diminishing. Ideally we would like to be having about one year to 14 months of order book. That is what, as a management, is a guidance to the sales team. At this moment we are very comfortable on that. You would see that we started the quarter with 750 crore of order book. Now we have done about 194 crores in sales, and we still increase order book by 25 crores. With some of the HVDC orders that we are planning in the H2, I think we should be comfortable. We have already guided that we may have another additional 500 crores of orders by the end of the year.
Sure, sir. And sir, my second question is more on the fundamentals, right? Currently, there is a huge shortage of transformers, especially in the European markets. There is a very huge replacement demand in US and the European markets. So, as per your perspective, how do you see this market evolving in the next 5 to 10 years? Is this a temporary demand or is this a structural demand? It will be evolve over the 5 to 10 years.
I would say at 400 kV and above, we are seeing a demand of at least a decade. At least a decade. That is 400 kV and above. 132 kV and below, I think the capacity that is coming in is so shocking across the world that we keep our fingers crossed. And because we operate our transformer businesses around that voltage, we have been very conservative on that. However, on the transformer play, where there is anywhere demand, irrespective of what the supply is, we have already had one hand with Sukrut, where Sukrut has only two or three peers in India and about 10 peers across the world. We will contribute at full contribution about 1% of the transformer value from the component space, which itself is a big business. So with Yash, we intend to consolidate more transformer components companies under the Sukrut.
Okay.
So we will have a play in the transformer business.
Yes, so we are more on the high voltage demand, especially above the 400 kV, right?
Correct. That is where we see that the demand, because to enter the 400 kV, you still need a 5 or 7 or 10 years of experience. So the utilities normally would not allow new entrants into 400 or 765 kV without an experience, irrespective of demand, because the cost of shutdown is too high, unlike a 11 kV or a 33 kV or IDT transformer. So at that voltage, even if people develop right now, by the time they come in, it will be 7-8 years.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you so much for giving me the experience. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Hitesh Randhawa from Kagger Quest Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. My question is on the lines of accounting as far as other income is concerned. I think in the last quarter, we said that out of 53 crores of other income, around about 40 crores were attributable to hyperinflation accounting actually in Turkey. So in this quarter, sir, how much of the other income is attributable to that?
I will ask the CFO, Mr. Rajesh, to answer that, please.
Yeah, thank you. It is now other income, hyperinflation in this quarter is coming down drastically. It is not that. Other income basically is interest and other things. So practically it's very minimum. It was that in earlier quarters.
Ritesh, this hyperinflation formula or whatever we call as a forward hedge is based on the inflation rate in Turkey. As the inflation rate is reducing there, automatically the other income goes into traditional income, operating income. At this quarter, I think the other income is only 2 to 3 crores, rest of coming in into operational. Because inflation is softening in that part of the world.
Right, sir. Sorry to stretch this a bit further. So what is the exact amount this quarter? And other common point being, could you please elaborate on why would this flow into operating income? Because these are hyperinflation-related adjustments. So once Turkey is out of hyperinflation, then shouldn't this just kind of go out of other income? That's it, and it shouldn't be or it wouldn't be part of our operating income in that case? So the extra benefit, is kind of an extra benefit, right? So that should go away, right?
Ritesh, there is accounting, as an engineer, I can only answer this. Accounting entities don't create profits and balance sheets. Profits are created by sales and purchase. Okay, that doesn't change. However, what changes is that let's assume if I do a forward hedge or hedge call, where we have to have a dollar hedge against a depreciation. Now, what happens over the course of a contract, you lose money because, you know, the inflation is 60%. So 60% goes off in your operating income and the 60% comes in one quarter as a hyperinflation adjustment. So what happens, that adjustment comes into other income. In my operating, I would operate at 3% margin. But if your inflation is only sitting at about, say, 10-20%, then what happens is you do not lose so much in operation, so your hedge call is not so profitable. But eventually, when you hedge, you have close your profit at the time of the order.
Right. Okay, sir. Thanks for that. And, as far as the capacity is concerned, I think E5 and Samli, Cochin and Mehru, all of these kind of should most probably go live by November 2025. So my question is, incrementally, how much of potential peak revenue would these three facilities add actually by going live in November 2025?
So Sangli is not going live in November 2025. Sangli will go down as per the guidance that is given in Q2 of next year. Cochin will go live. It's a small incremental capacity. Mehru is giving an incremental capacity. At this current moment, we would like to stick to the guidance of 700 to 800 crores. With the next quarter, we would give you any change in guidance if required.
Okay, sir. Sure, sir. Thanks very much. Yeah. That's about it.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Yashovardhan Banka from Tiger Assets. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hello, Bernie, sir. Hope you're doing well. So I wanted to understand, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Loud and clear.
So I wanted to understand a bit more on Nebisky, sir, because you increased our stake in the same.
Yes, I think as a returning customer, I should give you the first preference of normally starting because you're there in every earnings call. Thank you for believing in us. So Nebisky, as I told you, is in the IoT and embedded space. Now in Sukrut, where we bought in the transformer components business, now to develop the next generation of transformer components where every component is connected, because a transformer, the core and copper is not connected. That is, iron and steel cannot be connected. It is the accessories in the transformer which are normally connected, which means that they need to go from an analog to a digital transformation to be able to be ready for the next generation grids. Now, Sukrut as a team do not have the access to that, whereas Nebisky in an embedded IoT network with a kind of edge computing data space can help them get there. So this becomes our in-house product lab technology center for digitization of all the high voltage equipment that we are doing. Nebisky is also working with Mehru for creating a separate device, again for digitization of analog to digital signals. They are also internally working with us for some other R&D projects. So we use them for critical R&D projects to be able to create technologies, especially on IoT software and embedded systems. That's why we decided to increase them slowly and steadily.
Understood. So the developments are moving well, right? Now?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And sir, the second question was regarding our best, applications, which you mentioned in the last call. So I think we've executed 2 5-megawatt projects where we are supplying a few on the EMS, BMS side. So if you can just touch upon that a bit more and the progress as well.
So we have already developed 2 projects on BESS, not as an EPC. We are a component manufacturer in BESS. So we have some sort of EMS and power conversion already deployed for 2 projects.
maybe in a year, year and a half, we may qualify for most of the tenders in that part of the world. But as I said, these are 2 5-megawatt or 4-megawatt ones, not at a gigawatt level. At a gigawatt level, we are scouting for acquisitions which we can bring in, because there is a new policy change in India where the EMS has to be totally domestic from Indian origin sources, the software
right.
that will be integrated into grid. I'm sure even the power conversion would come up. This would be a large play. We have one hand and one leg in it already with the software and hardware through NDOCs. How do we indigenize it? How do we bring it to scale is a part of execution strategy our M&A team is looking at, and we are deliberating at every board meeting.
Perfect, sir. Understood. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you, Yash.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sahil Garg from CCV Emerging Opportunities Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Sir, I have only one question. So, what kind of EBITDA margins and PAT margins we are expecting on a consolidated basis for the given estimated revenue of 700 to 800 crore for FY26? I mean, why I'm asking this question is because when company grows both organically and inorganically, so it is easy to, you know, estimate the top line, but it is difficult to estimate the bottom line. So that's why I'm asking, yeah.
I will answer your question, Mr. Garg. If you look at even without Mehru, I will just for a sake remove Mehru. Last quarter, our numbers was 61 crores. 194 minus 61, we are still about 130 crores organically. We are expanding organically 9x. We are also bullish on technologies with our own current set of numbers and technologies. But the acquisitions, what we are doing, when you see a blended margins can go reducing, but at the magnitude level, our PAT will continue to increase significantly. Because these are businesses that we are buying in for the next 2-3 years. Like as I just told you, Mehru, we got a 47% increase in margins in one single quarter. Now, a business of, say, about 300 crores, give and take, if I am able to improve another, say, 50-60% from where they are, my acquisition is paid for.
Okay. So can you
that is the kind of value that we normally bring into companies.
Sir, can you also put the number to the statement on consolidated level?
At this moment, the companies that we currently operate, we have given a guidance of high teens. That is the guidance at this moment. As I said earlier, in the second quarter, high teens.
Sorry, I missed it.
High teens, between 17 and 20%. That is where we have given a guidance, high teens.
Okay, okay. Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Gaz.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nilabza Day from Ashmore Research. Please go ahead.
Okay. Good afternoon, sir. Congratulations on a very good number. Sir, my question is that given the usually we have seen that margins are higher on in the export sides, so is there, and you have a subsidiary in Turkey, and now after this particular EU deal has been signed, I think the tariff situation that area is more or less similar. So why are you scaling up or focusing more on the export side, or you are more on the domestic sides? Also in terms of the premium equipment, so where the demands are more, because as we understand from some of the cable or conductor, they are saying that premiums, surprisingly premium products are giving better margin in India, and they are getting decent margin from the standard products. Can you just throw some lights on this, specifically on, since you are on the power equipment sides?
So, Mr. Dev, with regards to exports to domestic, we have worked the past 15 years in developing customers in over 100 countries. We do not want to just give away the customer and the market share that we have developed just because the Indian market is booming. The margins in India and globally are similar and not different. There may be a small advantage when you export because of what we say, the reduction in finance cost or some duty drawbacks and nothing more. With regards to the what we say, the supply, what we call from when we say from an Indian market, in the Indian markets and advantages, you get paid faster because you are not waiting 90 days end of the month receiving at the site. So there is not much of a difference in margins.
However, the demand, I can just tell you, if you take a simple piece of data, a normal search data on a Google search takes you about 0.3 watt hour of data. If you use an AI agent for doing the same search, it takes you 2.7 watt hour of data, which is 9 times increase. Now, we would say how many people ChatGPT use, but I would say how many people use Samsung phone, because every photograph is now digitally enhanced through AI. As you are doing quant trading, there are driverless cars which are continuously using AI. So the surge in demand of AI and AI technologies would also mean 9 times to 10 times increase in power consumption. Even if you look at an EV charger which used to be now, a good charger would start at 12-15 kilowatt, whereas an average house in Bombay has about 3 kilowatt of power. Now imagine 10 or 20% of the houses going into EV in the next 5 years. The entire distribution and transmission system is designed to deliver at about 5-6% growth per year, not 5 times, 6 times in 2-3 years. So that is a structural mismatch that we have. In the demand side, on a distribution side, say at sub 33 kV, there is not much of a moat on technology or branding. So there can be a lot more players. Even so, the market gets bigger, the competition also catches up. However, in the transmission side, when I say 220, 400, 765 kV, the moat of that 5 or 10 years means that nobody wants to enter because the rewards are after 7 or 10 years. So that becomes a basic supply-demand mismatch. And as we are going forward, we see that even getting worse. Now, you asked about global demand and Indian demand. I think in the last con call, I pointed out one HVDC order, frame contract in England, awarded in March is 59 billion pounds, okay, which is about 6,25,000 crores, one single framework contract. If you look at, say, a power grid contract in India, it's typically about 10, 20,000 crores. So even if you have 5 contracts, it's only 100,000 crores compared to 6 times higher for one single contract in India. So the global markets are even larger than the Indian markets. Even though we are gung-ho about India, we also want to ensure that we have 50% of our hands and legs in the other part of the world that we have created over time.
Okay, thank you. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Dev.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Aniket Jain from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I wanted to check if there is service intensity in the components or products you're supplying, and are you doing a plan to do any kind of EPC?
Aniket, sir. Sorry to interrupt. Aniket, sir, your voice is breaking.
Just a moment. Hello?
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 Is it better? Now it's clear. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. I wanted to check if there is any service intensity in the components or products that you are supplying, and are you also doing any EPC business as well along with supply of those components?
Hello?
Ladies and
Hello?
Gentlemen.
Sorry, we lost you.
I'll repeat the question. So on the service side,
no, most of our equipments don't require service. It's either it operates or it doesn't operate. We sometimes do get pulled into a service contract where we are used to commission our own equipments and nothing more.
Okay, sir. And so what is the typical replacement cycle for these components that you're supplying? Can those be replaced after 10 years, 15 years, or is it slightly shorter?
Ideally, my customers would not want to replace it for 30 years.
Okay, got it.
That is the kind of reliability that is put in.
That you have put in, got it. And second question would be, how is the competition from China in the international markets, for example, in Europe or US? And who are the main competitors that you're mainly dealing with?
The Chinese competition has been there for a very long time. We have been fighting them outside the country also for a very long time. Even today morning, we got a 34.5 crore order against the Chinese in Abu Dhabi with similar margins. So I do not think that we fear Chinese competition from a price standpoint. But yes, Chinese have one advantage on scale, which we are building internally with ourselves also. So I believe in next year, we should be apples to apples with the Chinese.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much for the answers. And best of luck.
Thank you, Mr. Jain.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Naman Parmar from Niveshaay Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So firstly, I wanted to understand on the bookkeeping, there is a slight error. I think in financial results, you have shown a 177 crore of revenue in consolidated, and in presentation, it's showing 194 crore. So what's the correct number?
My colleague Sarika will answer the question.
Okay.
Sir, that 177 crores is the revenue from operation, and our total revenue is 194 crores.
Okay, you are including the other income also. Okay.
Other income. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, so what will be the bifurcation in other income? How much will be interest income and hyperinflation part?
Hyperinflationary part is only 2 to 3 crores, and other is interest income only.
Okay, and currently, how much cash is there in the Turkey plant?
Last quarter, it was around 75 crores. Just one second.
Yes. Now it is 72 crores, sir.
Okay. Okay, understand. And on the business side, so how much percentage of revenue would be coming from the major three, four products? Like how much is from the coil, reactors, and transformers?
So quality power is basically coil products. Nehru is instrument transformer products. Endox is power quality products. If you look at it, I think the numbers are clear for you.
Yeah, understood. And what will be the PAT of the all three, Meru, Endox, and Sucrose?
The PAT is already guided, sir. We have given for different companies. We have given PAT forecasting also on the margin side. Even I had just reiterated sometime before.
No, no, no. On the future, not. I am telling you for the current quarter, what will be the PAT of the Meru Endox?
In the current quarter, PAT of which consolidated level?
No, no. For Meru, for Endox. Like you
PAT
mentioned, the
for
revenue of the.
PAT for equipments, PAT for electrical equipments is 10.9 crores. Along with projects is about 11.4 crores. Endox is 21.8 crores. And Nehru is 4.2 crores.
Okay. And Sucrose has ended the year with how much revenue or PAT in FY25?
Sucrose, I believe this year they will be doing about 24 to 26 crores. That is the number that we have been projected. At this moment, they are not at cash loss.
Okay. And how much would be, yeah, last.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Please rejoin the queue for more questions. A request to all participants, please restrict your questions to two questions per participant. Our next question is from the line of Raj Vyas from TM Investment Technologies Private Limited. Please go ahead.
And congratulations on the good set of numbers, sir. So as I can see, we have the order book of order backlog of 775 crore. So if you can give me the bifurcation for Nehru and quality power, and what will be the execution timeline for completing all these orders?
Good afternoon, Vyas. I've already answered that question earlier. 350 crores Nehru, 250 crores quality power. Rest is Endox, and the delivery would be between 12 and 15 months.
Okay. And I might have missed that. So other than this, we have, as you have mentioned, that we are in international market and we cater to more than 120 plus countries. So what is the dependency on each and every, or what is the highest dependency on countries that you can provide? And earlier as well, in the last con call, you have mentioned that we are in the ongoing projects and bid with Finland, Brazil, Canada. So what is the progress with respect to those bids, if you can provide some details?
We are project and country agnostic. For us, everything is one market, one margin. In the recent past week, we have had orders from the US, Abu Dhabi. We have orders from Finland. We have more incoming orders from, say, the Middle East. We see some good traction in Southeast Asia, Australia. So we are country agnostic, what we say. Company, we go as per projects. And as I said, depending on our relationship with the customer, we are at this moment having a capacity allocation. We also see a lot of domestic demand, especially on the STATCOM markets, where we cannot ignore the customers.
if my memory serves me right, in the earlier con calls that we have had, so you have mentioned that the dependency is not more than 5 to 7%. Is that right?
Correct. The biggest market would not be more than 5% compared to Indian market, where I would say at this moment we have set a 40% kind of a revenue in India.
And also, you have mentioned that there is no impact of tariff, but we can see that from FY24 to FY25, the dependence on America has significantly dropped from 20-25% to just 1-2%. So, but you have said that it all depends upon the execution and for the, after 12 to 15 months.
No, Vyas, I think you misunderstood the dependency. I believe that we have no problems on the tariff for the next 12 months because the projects which are supposed to be awarded to us will be awarded because those are made with our technical bits cannot be changed. That is point one. Point two, we keep changing markets every year depending on the size of scale of projects. So if we have some major HVDC orders in India, this year we may have India as a big customer this year. Next year, if we get a huge contract, say South Korea, we may have South Korea as a big market. So because we are starting with a smaller base, so you would see the flavor of country changing every year at this moment. But traditionally, at the end of, say, about 2-3 years, we would say India would continue to deliver that 40-50% and 50% globally. And those markets would change depending on the size and type of the project. Now, if you get a very large order for an oil-cooled equipment in America and in Abu Dhabi, we do not have further capacity to sell in Europe. So it depends a lot how much capacity you can deliver.
Understood.
But as we speak, we are negotiating larger contracts in the U.S. market. The customers don't seem to be worried so much on the tariffs. They are more worried about delivery. If you see the big, beautiful bill that Mr. Trump had given, the energy subsidies are closing in 27, which means most of the renewable energy projects need to be commissioned by 27, else the tariffs, the subsidies go off. So in the U.S., they are ready to even airlift equipment. It is only how much delivery you can give to them.
Last question, sir.
Please rejoin the queue as there are many participants in the queue. The next question is a follow-up question, and it's from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky. Please go ahead. Yes, Pritesh, sir, please go ahead. As there is no response from the current participant, we'll move to the next question. The next question is from the line of Aditya Agarwal from Finn Avenue. Please go ahead.
Sir, am I audible?
No, sir, your voice is sounding very low. Please come close to the device.
Am I audible now?
Yes, sir, now you're clearly audible. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to ask, like, the kind of work or the kind of product that we are making, so how difficult will it be for a, you know, established player in the HVDC market, like, you know, GE, T&D or Hitachi, to open up a new vertical, because we are receiving orders from them, so to open up a new business vertical and deliver the same products to getting it in-house. So just wanted to know about the same.
So nothing is impossible, Mr. Agarwal. If anybody is intending to do it, yes, they can do it. I believe the timeline for them to do that would be 5 to 7 years, not because technology is not available in the world. They can always find technology. But they should have to wait that 5 or 7 years for them to enter the market based on market qualifications, point one. Point two, by then we would have consolidated the market share with the capacity, people, and what we are envisaging. We will be one of the lowest cost producers in the world. So eventually when the competition kicks in, you still have a lot of margin to sacrifice for volume.
Okay. And sir, what will be, like according to us, what is the exact total addressable market for us? And on our prospectus, it is mentioned something. But, in the Google, the industry growth is somewhat different for different HVDC players. In different sources, it is showing difference. So can you just guide, what is the, absolute TAM that we are projecting and the kind of industry growth for next 3 to 5 years, the overall industry growth?
So, Mr. Agarwal, we are not a one-product, one-location company. We are a multi-product, multi-location company, say, in the likes of, say, Fiji Power, or I wouldn't compare myself with Hitachi, but I would say we are multi-product, multi-technology. We go from embedded power electronics in Turkey to, say, components in Pune to, say, instrument transformers in Delhi to coil production transformers in Sangli. Having said that, if I talk about the largest growth prospect of HVDC and FACTS, when we had to go to SEBI, the regulation says that we need to use a research agency from India, and most of the research has to be sourced from peer-reviewed research in India. Because HVDC and FACTS is such a closed market, there's not much of peer-reviewed A-class data that was available. But if you look at the Google data of, say, HVDC order of, say, UK, or you put HVDC and TenneT, you would see multi-billion dollar orders coming in. If you look at the volume of data, the HVDC market was about $8 or $11 billion last year, as per the research report. I just told you in England, they release an order for $59 billion in one single year. So the data is at this moment not technically proper, available online. But I would say that you can do a industry check with the users in the market that would be typically Power Grid, Adani's or satellites of the world.
Okay, sir. Okay. And the kind of growth in the industry domain, are we still projecting that 60 to 70% growth, which was mentioned earlier? I mean, the HVDC and FACT side for the next 3 to 5 years?
I believe our order book is already reflecting that kind of growth, because for all renewable energy interconnections in this country and most parts of the world, FACTS is now compulsory, which means no new renewable plant is delivered without a FACTS interconnection. And in the FACTS interconnection, which can be SVC or STATCOM or BESS, we have our components in it already. And we are approved, and we are creating capacity to deliver.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Agarwal.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to paucity of time, we will take the last question. Saurabh Garg from Pranshi Investments, please go ahead.
Yeah, afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're
yes,
audible.
Sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. I just want to inquire on the consolidated sheet. Employee benefit expenses have risen a lot. So what is the full year projection for this? And what will be the headcount for this quarter? And are we going to increase it as our capacity expands?
Hello. Sir, am I audible?
Hello.
Yes, you're audible, ma'am.
Hello.
Sir, our current employee benefit expenses, so on consolidated basis, is 25 crores.
Yeah.
Sir, what is your next question, sir?
Why did it increase?
They have risen a lot as compared to the last quarter ended on March 25. So what is the full year projection for that?
So the employee benefit expenses increased because we had to increase Nehru in it, include Nehru in it. Without Nehru, our employee benefit expenses is only about 12 crores. Nehru was 12 crores. That came as an incremental into our employee benefit. Our employee benefit has more or less been stagnant.
Okay.
It's just
okay.
That when we acquire companies, these things come into our P&L.
Okay, so as our capacity expands, so are we looking to expand or increase our headcount also? And what would be the full year projection for this employee benefit expenses that are we looking at?
Very difficult to answer that question at this moment. But yes, we have started recruiting people across divisions, across companies. As number of people grow up in Sangli, because the plant is such a huge plant, we may require another 600-700 people at various levels and capacities coming up in the next year. And they need to be ideally taken before the plant opens so that we can train them. So we would see a small spike in employee benefit analysis, that is in endox and quality path. Nehru, I believe it will be stable.
Okay, thank you.
So it will not be much of a difference. I would say the 25 crores, what was there last year, would be, say, about, say, 30 crores or 32 crores this year.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Garg.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddharth Bhamre from Asit C. Mehta Investment Intermediaries.
Thank you to all the participants for participating in this con call, and also once again would like to thank management of Quality Power to give us this opportunity to host con call on their behalf. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Asit C. Mehta Investment Intermediates, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.